Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
What's up, good people? You are now listening to the Karen Civil Show on Winner Circle Media. KC, don't hurt him.
Hello, everybody. This is Karen Civil, and I have a special guest with me today. Do you want to announce yourself? Let the listeners know who's with
you. Hi, I'm Kehlani. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say, but that is my name.
So congratulations on the tour.
Thank you.
First and foremost. So tell us about that. This was your first big headlining tour.
It was crazy because we did our first tour period, which was opening up in January. And we had like a couple months literally to like bang out the project, get the project going, and then go on tour. So it was crazy. It was definitely like a crazy experience.
So how does it feel selling out New York? Because, you know, that's a major accomplishment, especially being from Oakland.
Well, New York was crazy because I got to see a lot of people that, like, you know, are trying to be a part of what I've got going. Like, a lot of industry people came, quote unquote, and, you know, agencies and all those type of stuff like that. So it's cool just not to see fans, but also look into the upper section of the venue and see all the whole industry up there. So it was cool.
So talk to us a little bit about Oakland. In what ways has your hometown affected your career?
I think everybody's answer is pretty much the same. Like, where you come from makes you who you are. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, it had to make me who I am as an artist. It affects the way I make music, the way I talk, the way I think, you know, the way I act, the way I react towards people and situations. And it definitely made me, I think, thick-skinned when it came to stepping into music, because a lot of people get torn down by not being prepared for the feedback they receive from the world, or not being ready for a no, or things like that. And I think Oakland, you get a lot of no's and you get a lot of crazy feedback. So it definitely allowed me to have a skin coming in.
I remember growing up watching this, I forget what Monica was on, and she was performing, and she just got her first tattoo, and it was on her, I think it was her left arm, and she had to cover it. And I don't know if you remember the Boy Is Mine video. They had to put like a strip around it because it was like a faux pas.
I didn't even peep that's what that was for.
Yeah,
was
every time she wore the armband, it's because she had a tattoo, and they just felt like that was just something that you couldn't do.
It's crazy.
It was just like that wasn't the thing to get. Now, I feel like, you know, you aren't the typical, like, you break the stereotype of what an R&B, if you even want to call yourself an R&B.
I don't think I'm an R&B necessary artist anymore. I thought I was.
Really?
But I ended up really exploring all kind of aspects of, like, what a female singer can do. I've been enjoying exploring pop. I've been enjoying exploring, you know, alternative, all type of things like that. But it's R&B based, I would say. And I don't think I look like a typical R&B based anything, if there is one. I think there is. There might be.
I mean, it's nice. It's refreshing to see such a difference and to feel like you finally get to see somebody who's kind of similar to you. You know, from the tattoos, I want to just call it normal.
Thank you.
You know, it's not perfection. It's not something where you come in and it's just like you have to look one way. You have to do things a certain way. And with you, you know, it's just refreshing to see, like, listen, I'm going to sing. I may do it this way. Make it a little this. I use curse words. And I you know, my music is an expression of things that I went through. And it's so relatable. When you were recording, were you thinking it was going to be like this? Like, it was going to, you were going to take so well to your fans' understanding?
Well, thank you, first of all. And I don't know. I always say this. Like, I made those songs because they got me through what I was going through. You know, they got me through it. And I knew, like I said before, there's a quote, I don't know when I said it, but something about the girl out there that needs me is a tomboy and she's quirky and things like that. I was fortunate to have those when I was growing up. I feel like this generation doesn't have too many people that are just promoting being themselves regardless of whatever themselves look like, you know? And so then that difference is powerful, and really being you and being okay with all aspects of that, regardless of if it's the way you look, it's your sexuality, your skin color, anything. what's on your skin, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. I feel like it was scarce. But I don't know. Like I said, I didn't plan it on it being this connecting with my fans. It's a shock to me every time someone comes up to me and says so much, you know, about their life and whatnot. But I'm very grateful. I'm grateful that I got to touch people like this.
Well, that's great. So you should be here. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. You dropped that in April, and it honestly has really catapulted your career. So now tell us a little bit about this project and what the perception is, what it's been like for you.
Well, this project was the experiences of me, you know, kind of, I write like what's really going on currently. So those mm-hmm. songs are really what I was going through in those past maybe 5 or 6 months putting that project together. Because I dropped two projects in that year. So it was like coming after like all the experiences that my life, I mean, all the changes my life made after I dropped my first mixtape and what it was like going through those changes into what it was like going on a first tour and things like that. And so all those experiences made for you should be here. But I don't know, it was a crazy series of months. And I don't know, I got to tell my story from an angle that people hadn't heard before because my first mixtape was a lot of love songs and how I interacted with, you know, relationships in my life. But this is a lot of songs about me and me as a woman and, you know, me, what I went through growing up and things like that. So,
what song you feel like resonates with you? And just like anytime you perform it, maybe with your fans, like as soon as it comes on, they're like, oh my God, this is my song. Or if you're at Starbucks, they're just like, this was so me. You're talking my life. What song would you think that would be?
I think with girls specifically, Unconditional is the one they tend to resonate with because, and I say before I perform, you know, this is for all my quirky, weird, unusual, not cookie cutter, you know, girls out there. Who just want something unconditional where they're, you know, they're not forced to feel like they have to be anything. Like the lyrics are, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm not perfect, nothing even close, things like that. Thing I think all together with my fans, it's either Be All Right or Bright. And that's the one when it comes on, the whole audience is just acting like a church choir out there, just singing their hearts out. So it's been cool to watch from the stage.
So have you been working on, well, let's go back a little bit. Would you consider this project a mixtape or an album? Because technically I got it off iTunes. I didn't go to SoundCloud. I don't even know if there was one. So it's like,
no, it was on SoundCloud. I mean, you know, I pulled a Drake. I definitely...
So what would you consider it?
It's definitely a mixtape. Just like, you know, if you're reading This Was Too Late, it was a mixtape. And then there's some people who dropped their mixtapes on SoundCloud this year. But I don't know. I figured it wasn't the project I wanted to call my first album. I wasn't ready for that to be my first album. It was the conclusion to my mixtape series, which is why the art direction and the creative, all the things besides the music go hand in hand, with my first mixtape. So, yeah, it's a mixtape.
So have you started working on the album?
Definitely. Today was actually my first day back in the studio mm-hmm. I recorded a bunch before I went on tour for the album, and then I went on tour and listened to a lot of things and learned a lot of stuff, and honestly my brain flipped, so I came back today and made a whole new, you know, outline of things and started recording again. So
life has pretty much changed for you though, you know, from the sold out tour to there was you mentioned on an interview you did for my site, you felt like people were putting you on a pedestal, and it's, how do you translate what's happening in your life now to your music? Because it's so different from when you started.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when you take any of the position of power in this world, someone's going to put you on a pedestal that you necessarily don't consider yourself in yet. I still don't consider myself in this pedestal that I'm being put on. I just consider myself working. That's what I'm always going to stick to until I can't walk to 7-Eleven, which is my famous line. But, I don't know. I think it's just like I was saying with how Cloud 19 transitioned into You Should Be Here. Like, I went on a tour and came back and was like, okay, wow, now I've seen places I've never, you know, I've never been to most of the places even in our own country. I've never been out the country. It's the first time having a passport, things like that. So, even though I went to Canada, which isn't that different, but it was still, I still had to use a passport.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I think I've just really grown as a writer personally and just been able to, like, learn how to take my experiences and factually turn them into words and, like, flip, you know, convert my emotions when I'm feeling, you know, any type of way into turning into being in a creative mood instead. But it's all just growth. I think when you grow as a person, you're growing at what you're good at as well, just naturally, if you're, you know, if it's really in you as a person. Mm-hmm. So it just, me as a person became more focused and more, you know, locked in with what I'm doing, and that in turn made my music better.
So you allowed your fans to go into your personal life with the first two mixtapes. Do you see yourself doing that now? Because, you know, it's to the point where even when you do interviews, when you do certain things, they may ask you about your mom and things like that. And I know it's like, it's a very sensitive subject. Mm. And I don't know if you thought like, damn, I'd be answering all these questions about her or whatever the case may be. So do you think you may step away from like, maybe I won't talk about him. Maybe I won't talk about her. Maybe I won't talk about that friend because I don't want it to resonate or in interviews or or my music that much anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in my music, I can't help but that's the only place I really can say everything I want to say. You know what I'm saying? Without anybody saying anything about it, it's the one place that you can really just let go. I can name people if I wanted to in my music. So in my music, I don't think it's going to stop being personal, but I've definitely realized that I will say a little less just for the fact that I've said it already. You know what I'm saying? So if they're asking about it, I might be like, "What? You want to look at my interview from like a year ago when I said it first?" Like
beating a dead horse.
You know what I'm saying? It just makes no sense. I feel like some interviews don't watch previous interviews before they do an interview. So then they ask you the same thing. You're like, "Well, to my fans that already know this and have heard it 1,000 times, you know." But I don't know. I feel like I'll have more things to talk about. So by the time I do more interviews, I'll be like, okay, well, this is what's actually new if you want to know anything new. So, yeah.
So recently you had a spat with the company.
Yeah.
And Baller Alert, who doesn't feature you too often, they took a screen grab of your Twitter comment. And a lot of the comments, people were offended, you know, because they were... Someone used the N-word with you and your group, and they're like, well, she uses the N-word, you know, well, she's not black. Do you hear that a lot? And do you feel like...
All the time.
Like, what's your response to it at this point?
I'm not here to prove to anyone what race I am. You know what I'm saying? My mom is right there. My dad is right there. You know what I'm saying? I've never had to prove it. It's just funny to me. I'm a socially aware artist. Mm-hmm. When I did have a Twitter page, you could definitely tell. Whenever there was social issues, I spoke on them. Usually I speak on Instagram too. Mm-hmm. I'm very aware of what's going on in our world. Mm-hmm. I don't think I seem stupid enough to be not only saying the N-word all the time, but putting it in my music if I wasn't black. Because I'm pretty sure I seem a little bit smarter than that. I'm not disrespectful. Mm-hmm. I am African-American.
Yeah.
I am black, white, Native American, and Spanish.
Yeah.
I was never questioned for saying the N-word in my entire life because I'm black. So if I'm not black enough for some people, that's them. I'm also not white enough for some people. I'm also not Latin enough for some people. And I'm also not Native American enough for some people. So I'm all enough those races for me, and that's pretty much it. I don't really have to – I'm not offended by anyone's being offended.
One thing I'll give you is just when I listen to your project, you know, and certain people are like, how do you feel about that movement? And I had to say, like, I wasn't listening for you saying the N-word. I was just like, I'm listening to the music. There's no color. Yeah. And I relate to it. And it wasn't said in a way where it was just like, it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I understand this. It flows with the song. This is how you feel. It just felt right. And I'm like, at this point, this music, I don't see color when I see this person. I just see a musician that I can relate to. And hopefully other people understand that too at this point.
Yeah, I think people always are referring to literally my song called the, you know, N-words. Mm-hmm. But growing up in a community, you know, that's literally a saying. It's N-words gonna always be N-words. That's a saying. So when I was making that song, I'm like, damn, this is something that girls say all the time. Let me literally just use this line because I know every girl out there is about to be like, oh my goodness, that's on point. Exactly. So
we are.
I can understand if I was ever using it to say black people. Mm-hmm. I'm using it to say guys, males.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's cool. I appreciate you.
You took a little hiatus from Twitter.
Yes.
Why is that? Because you have a large social following.
Yeah.
You know, and with Instagram, people can see your pictures, which is cool. But folks want to see your words.
Yeah.
So, and just read them.
Good thing I'm a singer. Then you can hear my words.
You know, you can listen, you can share.
Rap genius!
But it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Why the Twitter hiatus? Why not let your management run?
Well, that would be very fake of me. Because I don't let my management run anything but their job. That's my job, my social media.
Smiles.
He knows. That's definitely an artist's job. We're very firm believers in keeping everything 100% mm-hmm. transparent with people. And like I said, I was waiting to delete my Twitter for a while before, you know, the incident occurred. So I was like, bam, this will give me a legit reason to just be, you know, be gone with all of it. But what I was realizing is the problem wasn't necessarily Twitter. The problem was my problem with Twitter. Like, mm-hmm. I caught myself on Twitter all the time. When I would do something like either just play a performance or do an event or do an interview, I'm instantly on Twitter looking for reactions. I'm looking for feedback. I'm looking for... And some comments would say they would get to me. Some things would be stuck in my head. I found myself odd hours of the night with my phone in my face. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a problem I had to realize that I had myself with the app, so I took the initiative to delete it. And immediately when I was questioned, I got on Instagram and made a video and said, hey, look, I had a Twitter problem. Mm-hmm. Just like when people say, how was there cyberbullying? Well, you can just log out. You know what I'm saying? I had an addiction to Twitter, low-key, and I removed the app, and I've been completely happy. Feedback is out the window. I don't really read my Instagram comments like that, so feedback is out the window. I don't pay attention to, you know, negative comments. I haven't, you know, seen anything like that. If I do a show, I'll just wait for people to, you know, maybe post it somewhere and like
exactly
on a,
or something.
Exactly. Yeah. But until then, it allowed me to, you know, not be so accessible with that either. And it's making me focus. So I like it.
So what, when do you think you'll be back? Or are you just liking the hiatus for now?
I'm taking the hiatus. If I come back, I'll come back. But I don't know if I'll necessarily be on Twitter like I was on Twitter before. Just because I like to give people room, you know, to hear what I have to say in my music nowadays. Like, just wait to hear what I have to say in my music or talk to me in person or an interview. If I'm saying everything I think, literally, because I was literally saying anything that came to my head.
You're treating kind of like a diary.
Yeah, and I was literally using it. I was literally using Twitter wrong. And I don't know if it's my app of choice. I don't think every app is for everyone. And I just don't think Twitter was for me, but you can definitely catch me on Snapchat and Instagram, so.
You know, there is, you know, a lot of artists now have this issue. Back in the day,
man, I was just saying this,
you know, back in the day we had the fan club. So you would have to, like, if you were a fan of somebody, you couldn't just tweet them and do certain things, you know. You'd have to write the fan club, and then I think the fan club was part of the label. You'd probably get something back. There was no straight connection. And now it is kind of
and it'll ruin you, man.
It can help you because you want to engage with your fans and see what they're saying about the music, but then it can also harm you because you think, okay, maybe these four people who, oh well, these four fans told me this is what I should do, you know. Or you'll see something negative and it'll F up your whole day.
Or some people had Twitter since they was like 12 and said a bunch of dumb 12-year-old stuff that bites you in the butt when you're like 30.
Yeah.
And that happens to everyone. Mm-hmm. So it's just better that, you know, I feel like artists back in the day had an image that they could, that couldn't be tainted as easily because no one really had access to your personal life. Now we're so accessible. Like, and people notice when you change your eyebrow shape on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that's how crazy it is. Like, you could, like, people know everything. People know where I live. People know, like, it's wild, like, how accessible people are. So, I don't know. Next level.
So, who are you listening to?
Well, actually, I kind of wiped my entire iTunes for the sake of I'm building an album. And I would like to only listen to stuff that is made before, like, 2004 and things like that. So, I've been on my real, like, old school vibe, and then, you know, pop stuff. The Weeknd album just came out. That was fire. Who's dropping stuff? I'm waiting for the Drake album, but I think everybody's always waiting for it.
I think everyone's always waiting.
That's just like, it goes without being spoken
about.
I actually just downloaded Coldplay, One Republic, Maroon 5, and the Script albums because that's stuff that I like always liked, but I never dove into it as a fan. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm trying to build a bigger sounding album, I'm just trying to get inspiration from things I don't normally listen to, and I'm an R&B head. So listening to like alternative and like pop and things like that has been really helping me open my ears.
Have you started to shape the sound of the album, where you want to take it, or you're just going to have a little bit of everything? Because I know you're not a particular genre, like you said.
Yeah.
So have you started to shape it a little bit?
I think what I showed with You Should Be Here is that I could do so many different things, but that was because I didn't have necessarily a sonic direction for that project. It was just a conceptual consistency. But with this one, I've definitely gotten my feedback from my other project, you know, learned what I liked and didn't like, learned what I liked performing and didn't like performing, got to see how my tour is going to go so I could figure out kind of what I want to do next. Because I kind of center everything around performing personally. Like, I make stuff I feel like is hella tight to perform. But, yeah, I think it's a little more of one vibe for this project rather than, you know, taking you through a million different sounds. I think it's going to be more focused and it's more mature, definitely. My other projects are very youthful sonically. Like, they had a lot of, you know, young, you know, a lot of 16-year-olds and stuff like my music. Enjoy it. But I definitely think it's more mature and a slightly older audience is going to appreciate it a little more. So.
Okay. So you spoke about You Should Be Here. Chance the Rapper was on the project. Mm-hmm. So how's your friendship? How did you form that relationship or friendship with him?
Well, Chance friends, me and Chance have a lot of the same friends that we randomly met. And then our squads are like best friend squads. Like, they're crazy. Like, we play a lot of the same shows and a lot of the same places. And so every time we link up, like, I promise you, everyone's like just hand in hand, like obsessed with each other, like kind of brother and sister squad kind of. Mm-hmm. But pretty much I met him through my friend who happened to be his friend. I ended up at his house and we ended up having one of those, oh my God, you know this person's your friend. And then it was like, okay, we'll slide through the studio. Me and my friend slid through the studio multiple times, but we hadn't made anything yet. We were all just still kicking it. And then we played a bunch of shows together, and then The Way, and then The Way video. And then, of course, we're all still friends. We all just played Trilectro together, so that was tight.
So, can we expect more music since you guys have, like, a squad goals thing?
I mean, his whole policy is make music with your friends. Mm-hmm. And being that we're all, you know, squad goals, I think, yeah, of course. I mean, at one point, we had a random brainstorm idea to make, like, four songs about the same thing. But this is just me and Chance being creatives. But, yeah, I'm sure if it happens naturally, I'm all about natural creation. Like, I wouldn't even say, oh, I think I'm gonna make a song with this person. I'm just gonna meet them, and if we vibe.
So let's take it back before the two mixtapes. I'll call them albums, but like unofficial albums.
Yeah.
You know, you were in a group called Pop Light. Mm-hmm. You performed on America's Got Talent, came in fourth place. Mm-hmm. So tell us about, like, tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, I'm surprised it's not talked about more because it's something I'm proud of. You know what I'm saying? It's not something I'm ashamed of. Yes, I was in a kid band, but were we a kiddish band? No, we were a group of 13 to 16-year-olds that played funk, that played old school, that played jazz, that was playing pieces that people in the audience that were like 60 years old was like, why do you guys know this? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We never covered anything that was really youthful. We didn't even know what was on the radio currently. We were so wrapped up in old school stuff. But I joined that band when I was 13, and it was with my homies at art school, and they all happened to be brothers and cousins, and we added two randoms who weren't related to anybody, which was me and this one other guy. And basically, we just started doing shows all over Oakland. I had performed about well over, I don't even know, I couldn't even name it, but by the time I was in like 10th grade, we performed maybe like 300, 200 something shows, just here and there, being around the, you know, around the way. And then we went on America's Got Talent, and that was really random. We were at band practice one day, and the manager comes in, and he's like, yo, I got a sick audition for you guys. You guys want to do AGT? We're like, what? Sure. The whole thing is, we're very logical kids. Just being in the music industry at 13 years old makes you a very logical person.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're 16. We're not going to do anything with a show on a Vegas strip. How is that going to work? We need to finish high school. You know what I'm saying? How are we going to be in Las Vegas? Yeah. And what are we going to do with $1 million?
Yeah.
So every time we disagreed, like, let's just go out there and have fun and literally just play to the best of our ability. And whatever happens, happens. Let's not be sad if we get eliminated. So we made it to the finals. Mm-hmm. We didn't even care. We was like, oh, we just made it to the finals. That's all. We didn't even think we was going to make it this far. We're going up against people with, like, crazy Vegas-like acts, like light up dance costumes and like silhouette dancers and guys who belly flop and things like that. So I don't know. We were just really ecstatic, and you know, the band made it maybe like a little bit after the show, and then we all went our separate ways, and now they're a boy band and I'm me, and I want to do some crazy reunion project sometime in the future, but they're doing their thing. So
obviously you're still close with the group.
Yeah, of course, those are my brothers for life.
So has the people from America's Got Talent reached out, asked you to come back, maybe a guest host?
That would be super tight. I don't even think a lot of people realize that it's me. You know what I'm saying? I look completely different. People love to post my glow up all over the internet. But I don't know. I would love to go back and then be like, yo, I actually make... Because a lot of the vocalists that go on there, you don't see them anymore. Because they either get into some weird situation after that, or like they just don't pursue anything. But I would love to just go be like, yo, just take what you got from the show and just keep building it and keep fueling the fire.
You should make that happen. You should make that happen. Are you listening down there? You gotta make that happen.
Let's go to America's Got Talent.
You gotta have her as a guest.
I mean, I'm sure I could. I mean, Nick.
Yeah, get Nick Cannon on the phone. And he has to have you as a guest judge.
I want
to
perform on there. I think that'd be lazy.
I lost on this, but I won in life.
I gotta really win in life first so I can use that line. I'm
no, but you are the sold out show
winning.
Yeah,
I haven't won
two unofficial albums that are doing great.
Thank you.
So that counts for a lot.
I try not to think about any of that stuff. Like, even ask David, like, when I get paid, I don't look at anything.
Oh,
like,
that's very humble.
I just tell him, like, I don't ask him. I will slap out of his hand. Don't show me that. Put it away. Tell me I'm straight. Tell me I have enough to send my family something. Tell me I'm good with bills, and I don't want to see nothing else. That's also helps not to have a Twitter. I don't see anything. You just create and go. That's it.
So what do you, now you have a little bit of time off besides working on the album, what do you do with your time off?
I don't have time off. That's good. It doesn't stop. I think I had slept yesterday. I think I slept. And well, that's, we got off a plane and I was able to just knock out. And it was funny because I really wasn't supposed to. I had multiple agendas last night and knocked out. But really now it's focus mode. I think I was itching the last couple, you know, weeks of tour. Like, I can't wait to record. I can't wait to record. I can't wait. So now we're doing things like taking road trips, me and my producer and my film guy and my assistant, just let's go take a road trip, go somewhere random, get an Airbnb, set up a little studio in the crib, and just write for this album. And that's pretty much it. Free time. That is free time for me, you know what I'm saying? It's time to be free. It's time to, like, do what relaxes me, and that's the music. So,
are you on a deadline to turn in this album?
I believe I'm secretly in a deadline. Like, I'm sure that my label and my team has some sort of deadline for me, but they're definitely letting me do my thing. They're all great people over there, so they understand I work at my pace, and that when they allow me to work at my own pace, that's when everything comes best, so...
Signing to Atlantic, do you feel like it's much of a difference from going independent to having the machine? Because it's like you have the machine, but you can't really tell. Because you're still organically doing it your way, and it feels like they've given you a lot of creative freedom as well.
True. In my defense, I still creatively, and for the most part, bringing up all the opportunities, it's us. In their defense, they are not a crappy label.
Yeah.
They fit in where they need to, and they understand that that's all they have to do. They're like, yo, you really got this whole thing going by yourself. Let's just push what we need to push, and let's, you know, give you what you need when you need certain things. But for the most part, it's really me and my manager every day. Like, when you see, like, random opportunities, like me in this random commercial, me on this random thing, or the song is playing in something, that's usually us. And that's usually from having good relationships and just meeting people and them actually vibing with what we got going on. But I'm not going to ever discredit the label for being a great label, and they're doing their job. So
can we expect anything outside of the music and the writing that you may be working on? Because I spoke to a lot of different people. People are saying, working on books. Fashion. What can we expect?
Really?
I feel like I see some modeling in your future.
Oh, word. I'm funny looking, but models be funny looking.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think funny looking. It's just like, I feel like I see modeling in your future.
I mean, I'm going to do it all. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I do it all already, and I have got a lot of those things in the work and more than you named. But I've recently learned that I should just do them and not say them, because I've let myself say things and watch them get done by other people way too many times. Okay. So I'd really rather just know it's all coming. Okay. And when I say all, I mean all things you can think of, it's all coming. So
the reason I say modeling too is there was a point where certain things were considered weird, and now it's considered eccentric.
So tight, yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm the example
oh my
of
gosh,
that. Yeah.
You're so unique and so weird. I'm like, yeah, they're just themselves.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. And I think now companies are really pushing that. They're like, yeah, we don't want the normal thing we used to get. Yeah. We want the person that's themselves, that looks different, that feels like they can gravitate and relate to our audience. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm never objecting to anything that I think is tight. And modeling's tight. I've definitely modeled before.
Alexander so. Wang, Levi's.
Hey, you hear? Make
she
it happen.
A 501 campaign. Write that one down too.
She was trying to get it.
Yeah, 501, Converse.
You see me
the
on
Chuck.
The Beats thing? I'm in the middle of Times Square.
Oh,
you
yeah,
see me? My little model face.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How was that seeing that?
It was a trip. Well, my face was in Times Square last year for some charity event thing that I did, but it wasn't like
to this magnitude.
Yeah, it was just like, here's a flyer for the show, so we're gonna put all the artist's face on the thing. But this was like, I got to honor my city, you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? In a major city, like, it said Oakland and it was my face on it. And I don't think, like, it didn't hit me the first time I saw it, but then I was sitting there the next day and I'm talking to my auntie on the phone. I'm like, I literally am representing my, like, where I grew up, like, the block you raised me on, like, in a whole another place on a big light up screen that people travel from all over the world just to stand there and look at. Like, it was crazy. So, yeah, it was very surreal. It's still surreal.
See, that's sweet. Me, I would have had, like, my dinner dates. I'm like, hey, yeah. Like, yeah, just meet me in Times Square.
In front of my face.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I didn't even realize my billboard.
Oh, hey, girl,
here.
What you doing up there? Your hair looks nice.
I was just hanging out. I literally would have just hung out in that area. Like, what? I didn't even realize.
Hopefully people under users looking at you like, wow, you peeped and recognized.
Yeah, like, oh, that looks like you. What?
I got a twin, y'all know that? She up there.
But the album, you're working on the album. What can we say is next?
I think the album is definitely next. But I don't know. I've got music coming. I've always
this year
got,
or next year?
Next year, for sure. But I definitely am not going to starve everyone for the rest of the year for content.
Oh, we'll get an unofficial album. Again.
You won't get an unofficial album, but I will say that I've been building my brand, and I've been building with people and building with other artists who will eventually be a part of, you know, Tsunami.
Oh, that's not features. We're getting some
not,
features.
Not even necessarily features. I mean, I have Tsunami, which is kind of my mini label, which is partnered with Atlantic. And I've been...
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've been meeting young artists that I've been developing and working with, and I brought one on tour. And I expect a lot of dope things coming with her, a lot of Tsunami projects, maybe some, you know, Tsunami situations, so... definitely, you're definitely gonna get content by the end of the year. I don't starve people for more than like 3 months, so I don't know. Yeah.
Can we expect another tour this year? Maybe not headlining, co-headlining, maybe
yeah.
joining someone.
The road is my favorite thing. That is probably my favorite part about this whole thing, is, you know, performing. So, yeah, definitely if the right opportunity comes along and I'm not 100% locked down in, you know, album mode trying to grasp all that, for sure. If a situation makes sense, I'm down.
Who do you see yourself touring with?
I really want to do some type of crazy crossover tour where me or the other person's fans don't really know each other. Mm-hmm. So that it could be like, I want to do a co-headlining tour with somebody like Disclosure or like,
okay.
or like Deadmau5 or like Kashmir Cat. Something where like, I know because both of our audiences are like
so
appreciators of music, but they're so different that we would both gain stupid fans afterwards because it would be something different. I love being on stage knowing I'm convincing the people in the audience to like me. Mm-hmm. That's the fun thing about college shows. That's the fun thing about like going on as an opener for a tour. You're literally out there watching people's faces change, watching them like you halfway through the show, not knowing any of your music beforehand. So I don't know. I want to do something crazy.
So on Twitter the other day, you're not on, so you can catch it. they posed this question: who should open up for Janet Jackson or be part of the tour she's on now, which she started a few days ago? And my answer to that was you and Erykah Badu.
Ooh, that would be tight.
And I say this because I feel like it's a lot of obviously female empowerment. And I was like, these are women who know themselves, who are comfortable in their skin, and just are like full on badass. And the transition would be great. So let's write that one down too.
Man, I would die to her with Janet. Jesus.
I'd like to see that. And because you have your like Tusani girls, a little dance class, like maybe it'll be like a little dance off. I don't know. My imagination was just running wild.
No, I definitely could see that. I mean, it's funny. After I get off the stage, I get... And there's, like, a few people of, like, in the generation above me or something in the audience. I always get a, girl, you just remind me of Janet Jackson, girl. It's always either Janet Jackson or you just... Aaliyah just came into your body. Crazy stuff like that. It's literally always the two.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I'd love to. Just because it's an honor. And those are two women I definitely am inspired by. And definitely who taught me everything I know about female empowerment. And the reason I have this woke tattoo on my hand is because Erykah Badu and the whole woke movement. So,
thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So excited for the projects that's coming out, the label that you started. Hopefully see you in another billboard.
Man, it's all coming.
And maybe on tour with Janet. You never
and
know.
And Erykah, man, what?
Yeah.
We're manifesting it right here, right now.
Or, you know, even if we don't get the tour, maybe we get, like, a video. Because I love your, like, I love when you and the girls dance.
Thank you.
I have no rhythm. I was like, she has it. It makes me feel like I have a little bit. I was like, she has it for me.
There we go.
And literally my favorite one is in the airport when you're dancing.
Oh, to Sierra?
And you, like, flip your hair.
And it hit the guy in the face?
I was like, that's for not caring. He just kept walking. He knew not to mess up the shot.
Oh, my 30 inches was sliding across this man's
face.
Yeah,
I was like, he knew not to mess up the shot.
Anything for the shot.
Mm-hmm. But thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And congratulations on all your success.
Thank you.
All right, this is Karen Civil, and this is Keeping It Civil with Karen. Peace out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.